Let's begin. So, we left off last week talking about Yirah, being in awe of, reverence of Shabbos itself. So we're going to pick up over there. Hispire, Eichshah Shabbos, that Shabbos itself is Mevi'a Lidei Yirah Ilah. It brings us to a higher level of Yirah, of awe of Hashem, of reverence of Hashem. Dehanu Hakaris Atzmuso Yisparach, a recognition of the greatness of Hashem, habilti balas tachlis, mikar chisayid hachidush, which is all omnipotent, all powerful. We understand that from the side of chidush, Hashem is creates everything, literally everything in the world from the beginning, and there's nothing before Hashem, and therefore Hashem controls everything in this world ad hayom, and He's constantly recreating it. In a certain sense, he's re-giving it life. Aval be'emes, so the truth is, there's also a level of yira tata. That was being in awe of Hashem. There's also a pure level of fear of punishment and of judgment. Hugam ken lahedia, it also comes out from this idea of chiddush, that Hashem it creates everything from the world from the beginning, as it will explain, Be'ezus Hashem. Kenexiv, the Torah tells us, by the Bris HaBasarim, by the covenant between Hashem and Avram, Yadoa Teda, you should know, tells us to Avram, Ki ger yezarecha ba'aretz, your descendants will be a sojourner, will be a ger, Be'eretz lo yilahem, in a country, in a land that does not belong to him, Ve'avdom ve'inu oisam, I'll subjugate them and afflict them. Arba meo shana, for 400 years. Vegamas agoy asher yavdu, and the nation that enslaves you, dan anoichi ve'achreichen, and I'm going to judge them. And afterwards, you will go out beruchas kedol. From the beginning, by the bris ben Avraham, this is what Hashem tells Avraham. V'lechayra, Hashem baruch hafteich la'Avraham, Hashem promises Avraham, she honest that after these 400 years, that Mitzrayim will be punished, that they mishabed the Jewish people, that they enslaved the Jewish people. V'lechayra ma yarviach Avram Avinu, what is Avram going to benefit? Yanish Mitzrayim, if the Egyptians get punished, so how, we were still slaves. People were, we still suffered terribly. Umayze Yosef, Mashem Mitzrayim Yisyasu V'yavitzar, what that they get afflicted and they're in pain, how is that going to be better for us? V'chem b'hagadah shal Pesach, also we say in the Haggadah, ilu also b'hem shvatim, if Hashem just would have ilu done shvatim in Dayenu, it would have been enough, they were punished. Mashmas is that, it's been inferred from this, that min ha-chasadim, it's from the kindness of Hashem that He did punish Mitzrayim. V'ayim b'divri marin ha-gar means itzach zev, which is the briskerov, it's zev salvechik, on the Pasuk, Re'ei nasati nasaticha Elohim leparo, I put you a judge to Paro. Rashi said, Shefet v'reida, judged and afflicted. B'makas v'yisurim, Paros was judged and afflicted. U'mefarash the briskerov, shamakas lo ha'irach b'kdei l'haitzi. So all these punishments were not just to redeem and to liberate the Jewish people. Elahamakos, the fact that the Egyptians were punished, is lakayim haftacha, was to fulfill the promise that Hashem made hundreds of years earlier to Avram, shaldan anoichi, that I will judge the Egyptians for what he did. Vizeu dechsiv nasatacha Elohim, I will put you a god, a judge, shayfir reid lanash mitzvah, lakayim haftacha, Hashem said, we're going to punish them to fulfill the promise. V'tzarech bir, it's haftacha, it's this promise, it's literally the end of the bris ben Hasarim when he tells him to be afflicted. We're going to be slaves for 400 years. Then the Hashem promise will all judge the Egyptians and you will go out with a great reward. Why is it so integral? Why is this the promise? V'abir bezeh, in order to elucidate this, Mashal, he gives a parable. A person takes his friend to be a slave. A person's a slave. Could go and knock us a switch space. So not even harsh slavery, embarrassing servitude. You're going to wash the floors of my house as a slave. And afterwards, just like the father, for example, goes, takes his son out, redeems his son, frees him. And at the end of the day, yeah, he's now free from being a slave. But yesterday he was a slave. Yesterday he was a slave. He was a slave for a day, and today it's not. Nevertheless, this child, Beno Shel Reuven, for example, the son of Reuven, was a slave to Shimon for one day, and therefore, at some level, there's a pegam, a blemish that he was a slave. That was right. By the way, if a person is a prisoner and they get out of prison, they're still a prisoner, right? And once we, it's, and even if they can erase the record, there's a felon is a felon. It remains. That was it's a pegam. But if after the father, his gabal oiso echad, but if after the father liberates his son, and he's no longer a slave, but now let's say the father goes ahead and with this person who enslaved and subjugated his son, makes an accounting with him. Whatever my son did for you that day, I'll call tefach for tefach, every tefach, every few inches, every 3-4 inches, apparently, hold on that floor that he claimed, you're going to pay him a lot of money. You're going to pay him. Venosaf, not only that, you're going to get clobbered. He whips him, he punches him for every aspect of he did that for. He named it Atta. Lo yirak shaben, he was never a slave that then. Elisha's bar, the fact that this guy has to pay a pretty penny, a lot of money, overpay, and he gets punched for every moment, for every little bit that kid slaved, what it illustrates, his bar, it clarifies that really, Kishevet Lo, when he was a slave the day before, so to speak, he was not a slave. The Shibur Va'avdis was stolen. The whole thing, this person was never a slave. The whole thing was, a slave sells himself as a thief, he's a thief and he has to pay back the money owed, or he wants extra money and he sells himself, whatever. That's a slave. This guy was stolen against his will. And you see from the harshness of the punishment, both from the fact that he gets clobbered, punched, and he has to pay back this person a lot of money. Shamishvat Shahayoyim, what's really showing is that the judgment of today is Oiker uproots umisaken and fixes at some level. It's a pagam, the blemish from yesterday retroactively. The fact that this boy who was enslaved is now paid a lot of money for his time, and the person who enslaved him is punched, right, or whipped, or get malchus, whatever he wants, for what he did, shows you that this person was never a slave. He was always a person who was stolen against his will. It's exactly what the idea is, the concept is, Shavtiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem promised Avram. Shekasher Amar Lo Hashem Yitzbarach, when Hashem told Avram by the brisket of Asarim, Ve'avdim Ve'anu Alisam, the Jewish people, your descendants, are going to be enslaved for 400 years. Ha'islo Avram Avinu Tana, G'dayel K'negezer, Avram was very bothered. Shepegam HaShibud, well, even if they're free, they're always going to be slaves. They're going to be called the people who were freed from slavery for 400 years. Eli Yishar Pegam B'nei Yisrael. Shalei Snakim La'ilam. If a person comes from, they were bastards or mamzers, so what happens then is that years later, people remember them. Well, actually, and that has a halakhic ramification. Shetamit Yishar HaMetziya She'uma Zu, that this nation, where Avdei Mitzrayim L'Sha'avar, they worship Mitzrayim Shavar, and even when they're free, they're still going to be referred to as slaves. It's going to not, they were freed slaves. They're free. It's still pegam shel edmo v'al zebelo. It's a blemish for themselves as well. It's a blemish for the world, and they themselves will feel a certain like that. V'al zev ticho, and that's what Hashem promises. Shiyakar, I'm going to uproot She yakres ha'avdus l'mafreya. I'm going to uproot that slavery retroactive. Al yadam, God says, goy. There's a goy. Shen yaver dananach. And the Egyptians who subjugated you, who enslaved you, I'm going to judge them. And not only that, and you're going to go out with great wealth. Sharachosh, the payment that was paying them all of the years that they worked. Therefore, what's clarified is really the Gemara, Talmud says, Sanhedrin, and the Jewish people were never really supposed to be slaves. They were stolen. It was not just, and all the avdus the Egyptians did from the beginning, they have to pay them for it. And that's why the Jews literally wiped out Mitzrayim. They took all of the gold, the silver, the treasure of Mitzrayim, thereby uprooting any idea of slavery. So, but just to answer the question that Pinkus asked, the fact is that when Mitzrayim, that Hashem had to promise Avram, Maftiachem, from the beginning, that the Egyptians will be punished, even though it should be unnecessary at some level for our freedom. It could have just liberated us, and not just for the Amunah, which God did in a magnificent way. The punishment was actually to illustrate to the Jews and the world that we were never slaves who sold ourselves, or we were thieves who had to be sold with the slave, which is what the Gemara and Kedushin, based on a Mishpatim, learns out what slavery was. It's that we were stolen against our will, and the punishment, the clobbering physically in Mitzrayim, and the paying back for this is that idea of fixing that up and taking away any potential blemish. V'zehu kol metziya shel nakam ba'olam, even grubba, even low, so to speak, revenge, which again the Torah prohibits. We'll talk about Hashem's judgment momentarily. When a person takes revenge, so to speak, that's even the concept behind that. As the Silas Rasharam says, the Patra says, Hanakama for a person who's hurt, Nakama, revenge, is mituka midvash. It's sweeter than honey. Veich muvanes, what do you mean it's sweeter than honey? How do we intellectually understand that? Could go Reuven, Shahara la Shimon. Let's say Reuven hurts, insults, damages Shimon. Mamar veich Shimon, it's not going to be. What does Shimon get back if he takes revenge? And what do you get back from revenge? The truth is, he gets a lot back. Shayidei nekama. Again, the Torah does not say this. We're not learning revenge right now. But what revenge does for a person at some level is masalik is habusha. The begam shalama takes away the embarrassment, the humiliation of yesterday retroactively. You had no right to do this to me. When you take revenge, it means you had no right to insult me. You had no right to steal from me. You had no right to hurt me. Now when I take my revenge, I'm getting back. Not just I got you back. I got myself back. I got my honor back. By Goyim, you took away my honor, right? Certain cultures, their honor is very important, and revenge is part and parcel of their culture, their culture. And the Torah actually, it's a serious thing in permission, like Sakum. Hanashitzarach Vadas, it's an emesh, it's not the truth. Why does the Torah not say we can take revenge? If you get a patch, it's because it was gozer in Shemayim. This guy can't do anything to you. Right? To protect yourself in the future, of course, that's not revenge, that's self-protection. Somebody's stealing from you, somebody's hurting you. So you're allowed to take preventative measures to it. Right? To take revenge for yesterday, a person needs to know if somebody hurts them or damages them. Of course, you can adjudicate in Beis Din. you go to court and you get civil recompense. But we don't go. We're not taking kamikaze action because really everything's been a shemaim. Even this person who Magalglin, who Hashem allows the wicked people or unrighteous people to do these things, and the righteous people to do the good, but he didn't do it, right? If nothing happens to you or me, Hashem doesn't want. So we don't need that sweet revenge because, again, we protect ourselves, we take the person to base, then we get paid back. I told that story of the baseball, my daughter, she was driving the car, and the baseball came flying. Did I tell that story? Very briefly, it's not so German, but it's an interesting story. My daughter was driving my car, and she passed by a baseball field. And the ball, as she's driving, the ball flew, a foul ball went backwards, flew into the car as she's driving, shattered my windshield. So I told her to call off the baseball field and get her my money back. It's a city field. So they said to her, you take an assumption of risk when you're driving in the street that you may get hit by a baseball. Assumption of risk when you're driving a public street. So very briefly, I got involved in even though I have a legal background as well, I got someone with a big title lawyer or general counsel, and we got the money. Now, that's not revenge. That's paying me back for their incompetence, and they owe the money. What do you mean, driving a public street, think that if you someone, but the emotional attack, that feeling of you had no right to do that, that's, he didn't do anything. That's min hashamayim. That's how a Jew lives, right? And obviously, that doesn't distance yourself from bad people, take precaution. But ultimately, that's from Hashem. But the natural feeling of revenge, right? If you're a guy who doesn't believe in God, or you believe in a God, but you think that somehow people in this world can do whatever they want, the revenge is really to give back what's yours. It's to give myself back. Now, going back to judgment, Hashem, Torah calls Hashem, is Nikra Kel Nekamos Hashem. He's a God of revenge. So God forbid, no pun intended, that God takes revenge like a person. I'm not saying that some Italian or Puerto Rican or African American, whatever culture may have that kind of you know thing that you if you hurt me, you have a family feud, you get them back. Certainly in certain other cultures, it's a very strong desire for revenge. I'm not saying those cultures per se, but a culture that would have that. It's not God's like that. Chas v'sham. What does it mean that God, so to speak, we use that anthropomorphism of revenge? By the way, this is very important. What we're learning today is not just important for Shabbos. It's important to understand what judgment is and what this means. It's not just that God, so to speak, takes revenge. It's a nice thing. It's kel nekamos Hashem. It's praised. It has to be. Because there's one Hashem, and of course, when we say Shema, we've been learning that the Chiddush HaOlam, that Hashem creates the world from the beginning, is the importance of the oneness of God, which is one of the fundamental, if not the fundamental, principle of Judaism. For example, let's say a person today sins, and the next day he doesn't sin. In Niskem es HaMetzias, if you have to say this, say it out. Yesterday he went against God's will, and today he's doing God's will. When you put this together, it's a problem because it's coming against the oneness of Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Melech; he's the king of every day and in the whole world and of every place. If you're in San Jose, you're in Prague, you're in Dallas, you're in Tallahassee, you're in Guatemala, wherever you are, Uncle Rego, Rego. On every second, on every deed, and wherever a person is. The Efshar Shritiya Metzias Be'ezeraga, and it can't be that there's a moment where a person is taking away from the Hashem, so to speak. V'alkom Ma'isa Shinira, and whenever a person does something which is against Hashem, whether it's an overt, careless, act with mens rea, of doing against God's will, or a care of negligence, which inherently means a person doesn't recognize Hashem even inadvertently. You don't feel Hashem at that moment that you could forget. Muchrachu, listen to this. It has to be that, so to speak, there is, it sounds like a dirty word, because it's often used, revenge and punishment. No. In other words, when a person does a sin in this world, that moment they did a sin, they took away from Hashem in this world. They you know, God is omnipotent, but in this world, Hashem was lacking, so to speak. Right? And the punishment recompenses or retroactively erases that rebellion or that loss of Hashem in this world. Shemizbar ma'atza, because now that this person gets punished, or this nation, ma'agdaras metzias, then you did that sin? It wasn't that God couldn't control it. It wasn't that there's no God, which is what you're showing, by the way. When a person acts in a certain way, they're really showing there's no God. That's why people, when they see evil, they say, or they see sickness, moral depravity, and there's no punishment, so to speak, they think there's no God. Right? Where's God? How could this happen? Or I sinned and nothing happened to me. Right? A person, that sort of creates a reality. The punishment retroactively fixes that. It's that, no, there wasn't God. He just was forbearing for that moment to allow you to do this, to give you free will. Metzias shel kov ve'isurim ve'tzarim shemispar l'mafreya is that the MS, there's no such thing as being against God. There's no such thing. There's always Hashem. Just Hashem allows free will. But you break what God's saying, there has to be a recompense for that. And that for retroactively fixes. Therefore, the Talmud says in Baba Kama, Hashem just lets it go, forgives, yivatri, so that you give up on your life. You're giving up even a little bit of what that Hashem, that Kvod Shemayim, that it doesn't make a difference that you know, if your marriage, if you would cheat on your wife for a moment or two, you ask her or your husband, you know, you think it doesn't make a difference? Go ask your husband or the wife. Can I just for a day take off? You know, you won't be my husband or wife. No, it doesn't go that way, right? It doesn't make a difference that you destroyed Hashem's name. No, Hashem is not that bitter. It goes against that concept of the oneness of God. Hashem is Hayahov via Kach Shem. By the way, not to tshuva. Tshuva fixes it. When we do tshuva, we fix it. Right? If we do tshuva, there's no need for punishment, because what we're really showing is, yeah, we're fixing the past. We're returning to the past and cleaning up the mess. No, where there really was Hashem, I messed up. Of course I can't do that. Of course, vidoy, I was wrong. I'm confessing. So we're fixing the past. It's one or the other. When a person sins, either we do tshuva or there's a punishment. That could be eternal punishment in Olam Haba. Could be in this world, if we're lucky, you get a patch in this world. But it's one or the other. When a person sins, one or the other has to happen. Can be a second or a moment they're under Hashem. Right? And you say this vitor, you're really denying at some level the oneness of God. That there's moments where there's no God. By the way, it's not just in your life. You create a reality for other people very often, as mentioned. When the sages says, Oymik Hadin, the depth of judgment. There's Oymik Hadin. There's depth to judgment. There's seriousness to judgment. To Kemesh Hadin, because judgment really shows the oneness of God. Kefiya Oymik Sheish Be'in Hayichud, Be'achashia Oymik Hadin. And because the oneness of Hashem is all-encompassing and all physical, metaphysical world, so too the judgment has to be there. Because that's the oneness of Hashem. Hanush in soif and spotless kometzias kabbis baruch. It can't be even for one second there's a denial of the reality of Hashem. Just like, because Hashem is in soif. And if a person does deny it, then it has to come back through either tshuva, which he's not talking about right now, or punishment, or judgment. And therefore, in truth, yisurim, punishment, and judgments, and even affliction, is toivul nifla l'olam ulatan. Now we're not talking about a person whose test in life is that way. There are people who were born. Someone just told me that their nephew has type 1 diabetes. He's a little kid, right? This is not a kid didn't do anything wrong. That's not a punishment. That's a challenge and a test of the person. We're not talking about that. He's talking about a punishment, whether it's physical, whether it's monetary, whether it's chashu shalom type of death, or way more profound, eternal, which is as a result of sin, not a test and not a challenge. That's something else. That brings back Hashem into this world, which is a tachas teva, Shema v'tel us, because when you don't, if the world would not have punishment and would not have judgment, then you'd be blocked from seeing Hashem. Sin brings choshech, darkness between you and Hashem. Because of course, and Hashem has mercy, He has tshuva. If you do acharata, if you regret it, l'mafreya, yuchal ha'adam, you can fix what was done yesterday. And tshuva is gam kem po'asim afreya, as I mentioned before. And therefore, you don't need any punishment. It's fine. Umispar. Now go back to Shabbos. Go back to Shabbos now. Mi'atza mashu ko'in Shabbos kodesh. How do we, going back, again, last week we discussed seeing the greatness of God and that causing fear, and even the Amar Yaretz, when they're awed by the concept of what Hashem is, and then therefore that awe blocks them from doing sin and atones and purifies. But as discussed today, there's a different type of fear, raw fear, that comes from an understanding of what Hashem is and what the oneness of Hashem is, which was what Shabbos teaches you and I. Shabbos brings this Yira Neirah to this awesome fear. Shekevan Shedikta Kadin. When a person understands the exactness of judgment, Lahamid Esayasayid, in order, which brings to understand what really means, Ein Olam Mavad, is nothing but Hashem. And Shabbos is what, when we understand this Chiddush HaOlam, that there is nothing but Hashem. And Chiddush HaOlam, and the idea of that there's one Hashem, is, shows us there's one God who runs every aspect of this world. Shemakom Mechosh Yisparach. If everything's from Hashem, everything is Hashem's will. Kol Nivu is Kasha Shavitzon, and everything that's created is for that. Im Ken, therefore, as we just discussed, there has to be judgment. Because if a person breaks that, if a person nullifies that, there has to be the judgment to bring it back, or there's tshuva. This is a Shabbos Nevi'a, and therefore, this concept Shabbos brings to Yerushalayim. Shabbos, when we understand what Hashem is, what the world is, what sin is, we fear, we come to a new level of fear. And therefore, going back to what we have a new understanding, what the Talmud says, Kol Mispalel Be'erev Shabbos, anyone who davens on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, it says Vayechulu, and says that Hashem stopped the creation, which illustrates and manifests to us that Hashem was not just the creator, but everything from the beginning Hashem creates. And Hashem, there's not one microbe in anywhere in the world, and not one thing that happens without Hashem. It's truly in Oyin Mavado, where a person recognizes it. When we say Vayechul Friday night in davening in shul, or we say it at home, when we make Kiddush, you know, we could just say those words and not think about that. But as we've been elaborating upon, we're saying a whole reality, a whole Weltanschauung, a whole Hashkafas Achayim, a whole understanding of what it means to be a Jew, what Shabbos is. So then we say, V'chul Shnei Malachi Hasharis, two heavenly angels, or Malvin Ola Adam, Menicha Yadra Al Rosh, they put their hands on his scores, put their hands on their heads. The Oymim Lo, you come, you're keeping Shabbos, you're saying Vayechul, you're recognizing what Hashem is in this world, and Shabbos is the Mekor HaBracha, is that source which allows us. The Sar of Oynecha, your sin is removed, you don't need the punishment. The Chadasecha Techuper, and your unwilling, by mistake, sins, inadvertent, are atoned for. Shekemo, that just like Tshuva is machaperes, atones for, fixes. By the way, it's not just, again, fixes the damages, fixes the chil Hashem in the world. That's what it's describing. Fixes the denial of Hashem. It's like tshuva does that. It fixes a person's sins and saves a person from punishment. You're taking away, you're fixing, you're rectifying the past. Kamolken, so too. Mamish. It's not just we're saying metaphors, poetry today. There's nothing. You want a Yom Kippur during the year? You want to fix your week? Come in and say, take Shabbos seriously. Say Kiddush. Say Ve'echulo. Hachrozo Ve'echulo. You're being Mamlech Hashem. You recognize Hashem's din. And that it rectifies things that we did during the week which took away from Hashem. And whether you're in Intel or Cisco or in houses or in the mall or in, well, you don't have Jewel there, you have, you know, Acme or Trader Joe's, wherever you may be, or walking on the streets, walking on Meridian Avenue, and you know a car beeps you and you scream back at him, whatever you did, or you know, or you're at work and you look at something improper, whatever it may be, don't do it. But the Ve'echulu, that Ve'echulu fixes it. Shekevan Shemeyed. By the way, that's why, you know, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim says, when you Friday night, if you're daven long, you didn't say Ve'echulu, should get someone to say Ve'echulu with you, because it's Edus. You're being a witness. Right? The minhag is that you should always say Ve'echulu, usually say with the tzibor, with the congregation. But if you didn't, you say Ve'echulu. There's a chazan issue, doesn't like that, because there's no Edus, there's no witnessing at night, whatever, that's just technicality. But the idea is, you're being a witness. She'im atzias. You're saying, She'ein metzias shal negrat sepo. There's nothing but Hashem. That's what you're saying. Ve'chul. It's me kiddush. But as a charata nura, that is true regret. For if you didn't recognize it, v'gilei das, and a proclamation service of achraza al chatav. Any six things you did that was against what Hashem wants, and that's as we say in Kol Nidre, they're betelim uvatavin shlo shirir l'kayamin. I'm not connected to that. I'm not making Kiddush on Shabbos. I'm saying Vichur even in Shul Friday night. I'm recognizing what Shabbos, and really our whole life of Shabbos is that, whether a person's cognizant of it or not. That's, you know, that's what Shabbos really is. It's recognizing. It came in Shehechers. Now you're saying this out. Al Kvod Shemayim, you're by keeping Shabbos, you're creating a Kvod Shemayim in this world, an honor for Hashem, bringing Hashem into this world. You're nitek, you're uprooting the blemish, the damage, the spiritual damage to the mafreya, and therefore a person can be zaycha, can merit rachmei shamayim, mercy of heaven, Hashem's mercy and kapara, and to fix the varas. That's the yira nera. That's why a person fears Shabbos. When a person fears, it comes to this recognition, tremendous fix. You know, these things are very deep. It's actually, Oymek HaDin is deep itself, the depth of judgment, and also how even making Kiddush Shabbos, Kedubas, is super important. You can live many years of your life and never know what you're doing making Kiddush. Never know what you're doing making Kiddush. Never understanding what Shabbos is. So this ends the idea of Yira. And next week, we'll pick up with Emunah about faith, the idea of faith. And actually, that week after that is actually interesting about why a Gentile, why it's only for Jews. If Shabbos is so integral and so important, why shouldn't Hashem give it to everyone? Okay, that's the couple weeks, next couple weeks ahead. I want to wish you a good night and a good Shabbos, and Freilich and Lag Bo'omer.